If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the living love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is your foundation solid rock or shifting sand? Good question, huh? Okay, let's take a deep breath. And feel the light just descending over your crown chakra from your God presence. Yeah, feel it? Like goosebumps that just pour down over the crown chakra, down over your body. That's the anointing of the Divine Spirit. Take another deep breath. And just evoke and call forward yourself into that alignment with the downpouring of the light of the Supreme Spirit. Fill it through and through. Allow every single cell of your body to be irradiated with this divine light. Sometimes it comes in as a lot of heat. The electronic spin of your subtle bodies is much higher in vibration than the physical envelope of flesh. And that's why you will feel heat sometimes when those higher electrons of your subtle bodies, of which you have several, begin to interface with your physical body. Sometimes your hands will start to burn. Those of you that are healers often have the hands burning. That's the vibrational increase of your electronic spin, the interaction of spirit with the material form. Always pay attention to how the Divine Spirit announces its presence when it's interfacing with you. Very good. So let's chant the divine name that's beyond all names and forms, the HU, H-U. We'll do it three times. We'll take a deep breath. HU. Felt that cooling energy come in with that, because it comes in on what's called the mystical traveler consciousness, which is a action of bridging where we fall short. Perhaps in our personal presentation, it bridges us through to grace. So it's an action of grace. And it also transmutes, so that if you have any static going on any level, it clears that. And so there's a cooling and a releasing that takes place as you chant the HU. So each person can only see and understand whatever coincides with one's frequency of consciousness. That constitutes the reality that shows up for you. The karmic tendencies has a role to play in that. But it's basically what you tune into in terms of your overall vibration that determines what shows up as your reality. So each beholds a world and a situation within the context of their overall state of vibration and consciousness. Only great spiritual merit and attainment allows one to see and recognize God. When that divine, formless, nameless, it of itself, that great supreme one appears as an avatar or divine incarnation, it takes great merit to recognize that without doubt. So if you've been one of those people who've encountered a great incarnation of God, perhaps Sri Satya Sai Baba or another, and you don't have any doubt, you just knew that you knew the minute you saw them, and no doubt arose, that's due to your great merit. And great is the attainment of one who loves God. You may think it's a little thing to love God, but you have to have a great amount of spiritual merit to actually love God. So notice if you're that one who loves God. And pure is a heart that is attached only to the Lord. Would that be you? And pure is the mind that rests only upon the Lord. Is that your mind? If so, you are happy, peaceful, and free. And indeed, you are a blessed one. So where are you in that equation? Could you recognize yourself? What are you seeing inwardly in vision, in dreams, in your imagination, in your wool gathering? And what lens of consciousness are you viewing the outer world and worldly events from? What is your present understanding or knowing? It is the heart that is the seat of understanding, not the mind. Would you agree that your heart and mind work in a harmonized union? Is your heart consistently open? Do you know that when your heart is fully open, you don't get hurt? Yeah. It's only when your heart is closed down a little bit that you feel personal pain. When you have your heart open with an agenda in mind, you're always going to have that pain and that disappointment. Because the pure heart simply is open and has no agenda. It's not seeking any particular outcome. It just is open because that's the natural state of the heart when it's open to the light of its own inner divinity. So if your heart is not open, or if you often experience yourself getting hurt, just notice what you're allowing to close your heart. Most always, it's going to be taking things that others say and do personally, taking offense. Do you know that the things that people say and do have nothing to do with you at all? They're simply a reflection of their own state of consciousness. Did you know that? What people say actually reflects on them. They're actually talking to themselves that they projected outwardly as you. Be aware of that. Save yourself a lot of heartache. And you won't take offense. You'll immediately recognize that, oh, that person is venting or expressing their own fears, insecurities, whatever. And the second thing that often causes the heart to close down is straying from the present moment awareness. Straying from present moment awareness. The minute you go into the past, guilt from the past, or project worries into the future that are not present right now, or any of that drama, you'll notice that the heart is not present, it's not open. You're in the mind. Notice that and return to present moment. So are you at peace with what is present in your life right now? Where is your relationship with God, with Spirit? How high on the list of priority does it show up? And I might ask, in which ways are you expressing your spiritual commitment each day? For example, what do you think about the most? Where is your attention parked most often? And what do you strive for in life? What do you want out of your life? True living, according to Sai Baba, consists of realizing the Lord. The only purpose of human birth is to awaken so that you never again have to take another human birth on earth. Why? Well, it's a school of mastery for one thing, but you're only here because you have desires that were not fulfilled. So you have to come back again and again until every single desire is fulfilled. Every single desire must be fulfilled. Or you can surrender all of your desires to the Lord and keep your focus on the Lord. But the average person is just filled with all kinds of goals and ambitions and desires. Is it possible to live a life without desire? It's well nigh impossible. That's why you need to give your desires to the Lord. You need to surrender the desires and allow the Lord to give into your life what is best for you. But we are meant to actually not just settle for being a human being, but to inquire whether, in fact, we are living as a human being. Because many people are not truly human at all. They are actually living still in an animalistic state of consciousness. So first of all, we need to move from the animal man, to the human, and from thence to the superhuman divinity. Because ultimately, we are God, having a human experience. So in short, it is to realize God and nothing less than that realization. It counts. A person who is filled with pride and anger and envy, greed, lust, egotism, is not fully human at all. Pride, anger, envy, greed, lust, egotism are demonic subhuman traits, not human traits. So what distinguishes a human being from an animal or a subhuman demon is the faculty of discrimination. To be able to choose between right and wrong, good and evil, and to realize one's divine nature. Self-awareness and self-realization are unique to the human being. So you are here to become self-aware, to realize that your own self, with a capital S, is divine and indistinguishable from your Creator. You are indistinguishable from God. And you're here to do the work, the works of God. You're here to be facilitators and escorts of the divine spirit into every earthly arena and situation. Here is what Sai Baba has to say from his book Prema Vahini, which means a sweet stream of divine love. I quote, "When there are many chances of saving oneself, is it not a big loss if no thought is spent on ways of escape? For all those who are really animals in human form, slaves of pride and animal traits, this awareness in time is most important. Delay is fruitless. It will be as silly as starting to dig a well when the house catches fire. Therefore, the discriminating individual will endeavor, by all means at his disposal, to understand the underlying principles, to master the teachings of the great, those great men and women who practice the spiritual path, and to bring all of this as much as possible into the arena of one's own experience. Without this effort, if one discards the path and wastes his life, it is an insult to the very name of the species. Instead of getting enslaved to the evanescent and the false, and wasting precious time in their pursuit, dedicate every minute to the discovery of truth, the contemplation of the everlasting, ever-true Lord. Such dedication is the real function of the soul. The spending of time in illusory appetites, on the other hand, is a drag of the world. One should not fall a victim to the poisonous attractions of worldly attractions and luxuries, or the wiles of seductive beauty. Remember, one day, all these fascinating scenes will vanish as a story unfolded in dream." So, we're in a big cosmic dream that we have taken very seriously to be real. And what we are here to do is to awaken. And when we do, the entirety of the dream vanishes. Just like when you wake up in the morning and you've been involved in an intense dream, and you wake up and it completely vanishes from your mind within a few seconds. And you're on to the living dream of the daytime. So all the self-realized men and women will tell you the same thing. Awaken from the dream of constant shifting sands, and change. So true living consists of realizing the Lord. So we have to ask then, are we truly living? Are we truly living? So, let me ask you, which would you say is most desirable to attain? Power and influence, or love and a pure heart? These have a lot to do with the primal imprint that we have when we develop the egoic mind and begin to come into identification with the human persona. So what is it, power and influence, or love and a pure heart? And I must add, this can vary in how it actually shows up in your life, depending on your nature, the governing rays that condition your particular personal expression, and one's overall personality. For example, many leaders have power and influence, but also demonstrate love and a pure heart. For example, Jesus, Yogananda, John Roger, Mother Teresa, Amaji, Martin Luther King, Billy Graham, Nelson Mandela, Oprah, for a few examples. You have power, you have influence, but you also have love and a pure heart. However, power, without love, without purity of heart, inevitably corrupts and destroys. So love without power can also lead to sentimentality, wishful thinking, and ineffectual results without power. So there again, you have to have the balance of the two. Soul power shows up as solid conviction. You're solidly convinced and convicted that what you stand upon is solid rock. It expresses itself as self-confidence and boldness in speaking of the things of God and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit openly without self-consciousness. When you're operating out of the soul power, your personal self vanishes from your attention. You become an instrument completely of the divine. So when you know who and what you are in God, as a child of God, as an awakened being, you reveal that by your solid conviction as to the truth upon which you stand. The definition of truth in this context is that which changes not. It's not the relative truth that we ascribe to that in the personal sense. It is truth that is the same forever and does not change. So we're speaking of divine principle here, not the passing moods that we may call relative truth in the third dimension. So you are solidly standing, unmovable, established in your divine identity. And we would call that the rock of your salvation. Because the root word that salvation comes from is salve, which is from the Latin, which means to heal and return to wholeness. So salvation is your return of your awareness to your divine wholeness. You are not broken. You are not flawed. You are not any of the things that the world would tell you you are. There's nothing wrong with you at all. You are actually a divine being caught up in the dream that you're a limited human being from which you're now awakening. So for a moment, just imagine that the divine Father, Mother, Creator is gently picking you up and gently placing your feet upon solid rock. So if you felt a little unsteady, a little like your world was shifting underneath you, and maybe you felt insecure and a little fearful about what's coming down on the planet, just visualize that you're standing on a solid rock of your divine wholeness. No one can take that from you. You can never lose it. Nobody can steal it. No one can deprive you of your eternal oneness and perfection as part of God. Get that feeling. So how firmly rooted are you on the solid rock of your salvation? Solid rock of your wholeness. And here you could ask yourself, what have I based my life upon? What have you based your life upon? And you know, it really has nothing to do with whether you're a student going to school, or a young wife, or a mother, or husband, married or unmarried, man or woman, young or old. Your life is based on something that is either solid or changing. And what has the element of impermanence is not real. So if what you have based your life upon is subject to change, you might want to place your feet on the solid rock of your essential divine core and take your stand on that. And then whatever you do from that base will be fine. You can do anything you want with your life in the world as long as you stand on that solid knowing, that solid rock, that I'm forever one with God. I am divine. I am whole. I am perfect. Just stand there. So if you do that, you will feel that you have a firm foundation under your life, under your feet. And this is extremely important to check out for yourself. So have a look and be honest with yourself. It's obvious that we are in the midst right now of a vibrational maelstrom. A veritable storm is raging, both within the consciousness, the minds and hearts of human beings, and without on our planet. Not only is this being reflected in our global weather patterns, which are just absolutely off the charts, but throughout every area of our current civilization and society, you'll see the winds of change are blowing. And this vibrational maelstrom and storm is raging. Social media, the internet, cable news, the stock markets of the world, governments, everywhere you look, every area is volatile with rapidly changing events. And today, they're in our face because everything that happens within seconds, the world knows it. So literally, the winds of change are blowing, and only those firmly planted in their spiritual identity, on the rock of their salvation, will remain unshaken. I said some time back that the great shaker is upon the earth, and everything that can be shaken loose is being shaken loose. We're being shaken out of our complacency and our lethargy and our, getting lost in the superficialities of life and not really living in the present. We get distracted with everything, and we're not fully present. So there's nothing like a good shaking to get your attention. This is also the time of the great sorting and sifting. It's the testing and trying of the soul of humanity to see if they're going to be able to make that big radical shift from the third-dimensional old paradigm of dog-eat-dog through the fourth dimension of sorting it out and testing and being strained, so to speak. And can they move into the golden age of living love or the fifth dimension? That is also present. And some of you will find yourself more hunkered down in the third dimension, some the fourth. Some of you are living in the fifth. You're the ones that are living in a state of, centered peace for the most part. Maybe none of the things that have happened on the planet have caught your attention. You might even be completely unaware of them. That would be very fortunate. Maybe you're living in the Himalayas without any cell phone. Otherwise, they're probably aware of things that are going on, but still, it's not getting into the core. It's not touching you in your core because you're firmly on that solid rock of your awareness of your centered divinity. So humanity is the center in the great overall consciousness of God. Humanity is the center where the divine plan of love and light is being worked out. We're the light workers. We're working the love and the light like yeast into the overall loaf of human consciousness so that it can rise and lift to a higher level. So we're also the center wherein the door where evil dwells is sealed. Now remember, Sai Baba said there's not an iota of evil throughout creation. So here we're saying there's a door where evil dwells. Well, where is it? It can only be a dream And the dream, of course, the foundational dream, the big lie, is that we have separated from God. We've been cast out of the divine state, which, of course, is impossible. God cannot cast itself out anywhere. Ideas never leave their source. And we are ideas of love within the mind of God. But in terms of humanity, the door where evil dwells could be located in unrepentant hearts, in hardened, unrepented hearts, and unredeemed minds. What does that mean? Well, when you're ready to really open to spirit, you're going to feel that you're very uncomfortable with yourself at some level because you recognize you stepped out of that perfect alignment. The ego, the mind, has drawn you to places where you've done behaviors and things that you feel guilty about. Your conscience has convicted you that you've done something that is not in alignment with divine love. And so that heart has to be turned. To repent means to rethink. Rethink your life and to turn over a new leaf, to come with a contrite and open heart to your Creator and allow the love of God to lift you up out of that quagmire that your ego has gotten you involved in and to bring light to your understanding. A redeemed heart is a heart that has been turned over to God. And that would be the mind as well. A redeemed mind is cleared by grace, by coming into that relationship with the divine within. And the mind is transformed. So, the great avatar, Sai Baba, has said that only when humanity has been brought to a position where the world is, when humanity itself has brought the world to the very brink of destruction, and global calamities have brought humanity to their knees, only then will they turn to God. He said that, gosh, back in the 80s. And although we are all experiencing a colossal dream that is only as real as we believe it to be, sometimes only a terrifying nightmare will cause one to awaken. Here I'm reminded of a South Indian woman, Parvati Ma, I believe her name was. She was a young wife and a mother of five children. And one day she was preparing rice and milk in a clay cooking vessel to celebrate the festival of Pongal. Suddenly the pot exploded, severely burning and injuring her and blinding her eyes. Then her cottage caught fire and her five children and husband all perished. And that devastating nightmare shock catapulted Parvati Ma into fully awakened God consciousness. So she went from believing she was a wife and mother and cooking a pot of milk and rice, bam, into full awakened God consciousness. So what happened was that she went into a nightmare, which was so intense that the whole dream vanished. Also, with her awakening to full God consciousness in that instant, her injuries also vanished. So she went on to be a fully awakened, God-conscious, renowned, miracle-working saint. People then began to pray to her for miracles, and, you know, many there were from her God-realized state. So that's only one of many examples of how a shocking nightmare scenario within this Maya dream world can serve to awaken God consciousness. Of course, you know, none of us wants this to happen to ourselves nor to anyone else in such a dramatic way. And yet we also have to ask ourselves, what will it take to get our attention, our collective attention? What's it going to take? What will turn our attention away from hating and destroying and killing one another? What's going to do it? Well, you might say, but I'm not destroying or killing anyone. Well, listen to what Jesus had to say about that. In the New Testament, he said that to think a hateful thought about anyone or send an angry thought was the same as murder. Wow. In A Course in Miracles, Jesus stated that even a slight irritation but veils an inner murderous rage. Wow. He's very strict, very uncompromising when it comes to showing what is behind our thoughts, how powerful our thoughts are. Even a slight irritation but thinly veils an inner murderous rage. So, by that standard that Jesus is holding up to us, we are all guilty of hating and destroying and killing. Now, Sai Baba has said that anger is the worst and most harmful of all ego traits. Anger is born of hatred and can cause one to lose consciousness, black out, and commit the most heinous crimes. Often you'll have somebody on the jury, standing for trial, and they'll say they don't have any recall of committing the crimes. And that's true, because when you go into that blank, blind rage, you go unconscious, completely unconscious. Often a person becomes possessed by some lower entity at that point. And then, of course, they don't remember what they're doing. So don't ever allow anger to take you over. Be really vigilant about that. So anger also, Sai Baba said, severely poisons the liver and the system, the overall physical body. He told us that two minutes of anger destroys the merit gained from 2 months of spiritual practice. Wow. 2 months down the drain of your spiritual practice from 2 minutes of anger. And it poisons the liver and the physical body for up to 3 months. So this is really the cause of so much of the cancer and the diseases that we have on the planet, too. So moreover, Sai Baba has said that fault-finding and speaking ill of another will prevent one from realizing God and attaining liberation. So, we have to add here that only about a quarter of any given group is really going to be candidates for God and self-realization. That's a statistic that keeps coming up when they're looking at groups overall. And those that stick with a spiritual path and succeed, and those who fall away for various reasons. So, finding fault and speaking ill of another, which is almost universal, people do it all the time, you have to realize these are people that are going to be coming back again and again for more incarnations on Earth. But I'm speaking to light workers and yogis and yoginis and people who are very serious about realizing God in this incarnation. I'm talking to you. Not the masses who won't be interested in what we're sharing here at all. But, you know, have you ever witnessed a time when there was more anger, ranting, cursing, and vilifying going on? It's just contagious. So, the Master John Roger is the spiritual teacher of many of you who like to listen to these seminars. And he said one time that to scream and yell at another person was the same as committing spiritual suicide. That you just as well shoot yourself than to continue like that. And he too, like Jesus, wasn't mincing any words. So we can see that perhaps it may take a colossal nightmare to get our collective attention. It just might. And we're sharing this to literally scare the hell out of you and me. Because hatred and anger are states of hell. These are demonic traits. They have nothing to do with a true human being. So at least those of us who aspire to live spiritually connected, spiritually accountable, loving lives, we must gain control over our negative thoughts and critical tongues and volatile emotions. Now the triple avatars of Shirdi Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, and Prema Sai Baba, who's now growing up, have come solely for the purpose of saving us from our own self-destruction and to guide those of us who are of loving devotion into a golden age of truth, peace, and love. Now, we're in that, moving into that now. Many people are in the golden age consciousness already. They're the forerunners. And they're already living in this completely higher state of awareness. Sai Baba also stated during some of the trips that I went to see him, and this would probably be about 1980, he stated, or even earlier actually, Sai Baba stated that evil has to arise at its ultimate peak for his full avataric power to manifest. And at the time he was sharing that with us, he said he was manifesting only about 10%, which was amazing because he was doing raising the dead and multiplying food and doing every one of the miracles attributed to Jesus with millions of people all over the world, whether they were present with him or clear across on the other side of the planet. And that he was only manifesting 10%. Pretty amazing. What would it be like when it's 100%? We can't even imagine. So you see, within the psychic and the material realms, which are beneath the soul and God realms, would be the fifth dimension all the way up, polarity prevails, the law of polarity. And then you have the good and the evil sparring for supremacy. And both forces have to be of equal strength. So as the light increases, so the darkness has to increase. I know it probably doesn't make sense to anybody, but that's the way that the cosmic dream is set up. So that said, good ultimately triumphs in this cosmic drama. Invariably, it always wins. Evil always self-destructs, always. Can never, ever win. Why? Because evil is a shadow. It is not a principle. A principle with a capital P is based on that unshakable truth that cannot change. The truth is God is all that is. And God is love. And from God, all things have come, and God loves all of its creation. And all of its creation is birthed of love. So the little shadow, the little thought form that we have been cast out of the Edenic state of oneness with God, that's just a little thought form. But with buying into that thought form, we got aging and disease and death and pain and suffering and hell, which is believing you're separate from God. That's hell. Believing you're alone and rejected and forlorn. That's hell. So we have that as an experience within the dream, within the Maya, within the samsara, but it's not an eternal truth. It's not an eternal verity. So that's why it, at some point, always dissolves in the light of higher awareness. So just be aware of that. You're not an ego. You're not the mind. You're not the body. You are not your emotions. You are not your passing moods. You are God. And you are an embodiment of God's immortal love forever and ever. There is no birth. There is no death. There is no destruction. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can burn you. Nothing can drown you. Nothing can shoot you or destroy you. The physical envelope, it's part of the dream. It falls away when it served its purpose. But you, as a conscious being, are immortal and eternal. So while the costume may be cast away at some point when it served its purpose, you go on. You go on forever and ever as part of that creative love of God that's constantly manifesting and extending creation in ever more lovely ways. But you transcend the dream, the lower psychic and material realms that are caught up in the great illusion, the great call, the great spirit of time and beguilement. You escape from that when you awaken. So what is one to do? Well, get right with God. Help people that you're working with to get right with God, which means to get right with their sense of self. They have to forgive themselves for forgetting that they are divine, for buying into all of the worldly rhetoric they've been conditioned to believe, and to learn how to walk in miraculous, supernatural ways with the Lord. They have to get right with one another. They have to heal those grievances and repent and apologize and make peace within themselves, peace with God, peace with other people, and be educated in how to live in attunement, a life of a spiritual relationship and attunement. So that's what we're to teach and help people to do. And that's what we're to do for ourselves. So Jesus taught that to overcome evil, we must be doing good. You don't fight or resist evil, because when you do, you increase its force. It depends on the polarized positioning to do what it needs to do. You know, policemen need criminals, otherwise they can't be policemen. And judges need to have people they can prosecute and judge and put wherever, or they can't be judges. And doctors depend on having sick people so that they can, you know, sell you medicine and make a big living. So you have all of these polarizations that depend on each other to survive. So for evil to survive and negativity to survive, it has to have people that position themselves against it. And againstness is the cult of the ego. So when you just bypass focusing on the evil and you go straight to doing good, it has nothing to play off of. It can't do anything unless you fight. Nothing is more disappointing than to come all revved up to have a good fight, and the person you thought was going to fight just, you know, doesn't react. So that's the best way to stop an argument. Go silent. Chant. Chant inside your mind. Chant your mantra. And if you feel yourself starting to get worked up, then leave the room. But it's very interesting to watch somebody venting their spleen, because actually they're talking to themselves, and sometimes they just need to vent. So don't buy into it. It has nothing, again, to do with you. So Sai Baba taught us not to look at evil things. And here we have to really watch what we pay attention to. And this is going to greatly increase your free time from most participation with media programming, because almost everything on media has to cater to the lower nature and doesn't give anything to you that would truly nourish your spirit. So he said not to lend our ears to evil slander and gossip and bad things. So very often when we get together with our friends, people start to talk about Trump or somebody else who's the present person they want to point fingers to. And it's always somebody. I mean, that figure that we like to cast our ire upon changes. That country, that culture, that person, whatever. So it's just a tendency of the ego to always want to point out and find the shortcomings and the faults in other people, which then takes the heat off of itself. Because the last thing the ego wants is for you to wake up, because then it dissolves. So we're not to lend our ear to slander and gossip or bad things. People know that if they go out with me, they're going to hear only spiritual talk, because I will not participate in slander, gossip, or bad things. I just won't. I'll get up and leave. Well, actually, I will never go out with a person that I think is going to do that. I only go out with people that I know are very, very spiritually awake and evolved that don't do stuff like that. I don't have any social life. And I think you're wise if you don't either. If you're very selective in who you hang out with, and pick those people that are on the same or a similar page to you spiritually. So Sai Baba also said not to partake of evil in any form, but to focus only upon whatever is loving, pure, happy, godly, divinely uplifting, whatever is going to nourish our moral fiber and lend quality to our life. And so, it's do good, see good, be good. That is the way to God. He's often quoted as saying that. So Sai Baba also explained that in previous ages, evildoers could be identified as one or more demonic individuals, and then the avatar would come and destroy them. And by the way, when an avatar would destroy a demon, they were also at the same time liberated. So it's like a good thing for the demons. But Sai Baba said, today everyone is tainted with wickedness, and so who would survive if the avatar were to uproot? So instead, he states he has come to correct the buddhi, the intelligence principle within each one of us, and to guide us from within, through our conscience, onto the path of righteousness. And he has come to save us from destruction and destroying the world. He also said that those who commit such evil deeds, like some of the things happening now in the news today, that at some point, because everyone has God within them, even if it's so buried in darkness and hatred and fear that they show no evidence of it, everybody has a spark of divinity within them. And he said, at some point, those who commit such evil deeds are awakened by their own actions. They're shamed. They're brought to shame by their own actions. Because nobody feels good when they do evil things, unless, of course, they're demonically possessed, which is the case with the people doing what they're doing now. Their minds have been completely taken over by evil rhetoric and a misinterpretation and understanding of scriptures, which many of them aren't even literate to read. So they take the inflammatory speech of someone, and they act on it blindly, and the minds get taken over and possessed by these the entities that are trying to fuel these hatreds. So you have to realize they're not acting from a point of sanity, but they're actually insane and possessed when they do evil and do these terrible attacks and things. So what we are asked to do is to faithfully attend to our daily spiritual practice, to follow the religious tenets that do not violate love, because all true religions are based on love. So you follow that, and you live lives of humility, loving kindness, and service to all. So you focus your attention on being of service. And you leave all of the results to God and just do your best. And then you be happy and peaceful and strive by your own example to make others happy and peaceful. Let you be the person that when you walk in the room, that peace follows you. And people want to be with you because you're happy and you bring a brightness wherever you are. And that is the greatest thing you can do for this planet right now. Also, he says not to fill the ears of others with your complaints and worries and problems. Why burden them when they have their own to contend with? But take your worries and your problems to God in prayer and leave them there for him to resolve. Baba always says, bring to me all the ravages of your mind, all of your pain and worries and hatreds and enemies and darkness and everything in you that's evil. Come and give it to me and take from me bliss. So when you feel anger or whatever coming on you, just give it to Sai Baba and say, I don't want this. You take it and give me your bliss. And I promise you, he will do that. But just, you know, don't abuse that. Correct your behavior, too. That's your job. But keep your attention steady upon the Lord, regardless of how shaking and shattering and shocking the events may transpire. You may not be in any area where they transpire. You may have already gone to a higher vibration. But if you're still hunkered down here in the third and fourth dimensions, you're going to probably see some pretty shocking things in the next few months and years. Maybe not too many years, because we are moving into the golden age. But be heroes in spirit of steady, unshakable faith and confidence that soon the time of travail will end. The dawning of the golden age and the presence of God will be living in our midst with us all. And Sai Baba has stated that at this time, all of the former saints and great souls of previous ages, all of them, are on earth right now to witness this great transformation into an age of divine glory, love, and peace. So stand upon that solid foundation of your steadfast conviction that you are divine, and all of this is but a dramatic enactment that ends happily for all. Jesus in the Course of Miracles states, a happy ending to all things is assured. And that's what we need to have as our takeaway here this evening. The words of Jesus, a happy outcome to all things is assured. And that's a lesson in the Course in Miracles. So, I hope this has been helpful to you. Watch your emotions, control your anger, sweeten your rhetoric, and keep your focus on God. And let's go out chanting three Anai Hues. Deep breath. Anai Hues. Let our prayer be, may all beings be healthy. May all beings be happy. May all beings live peacefully. May all manner of good things be with all. May all be blessed. And just raise your hands and give a loving blessing to this planet and to every man, woman, and child. And pray that every single person awakened from the nightmare of hatred and warfare to the happy dream of being a beloved child of God until they can fully awaken to realize they are God. Namaste.